Welcome to our worship service. As you and I go through our life here, there are days when things couldn't be better, and then maybe the next day things couldn't be worse. There's a lot of highs and lows as we go through our life here. It's easy to thank God on the good days and be thankful for what He does for us, and not so easy to thank Him when those days are difficult. Jesus' disciples, they went through the same thing, and we'll talk about that in our scripture reading for tonight. They had lots of highs and lots of lows. But the important thing for them and for us is that Jesus used all of that, whatever the experience was, He used it all for their good in some way. You and I can be confident that as we go through the highs and lows in our own lives, God will use all of it for our eternal good. Our service for tonight follows the order that you have printed in your bulletin and on the screens. We'll begin with our opening verses. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever were gains to me, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. We press on toward the goal to win the prize. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your gracious presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave His word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is a reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 20. After healing a man who was crippled and a beggar, Peter points the people to the source of healing, which of course is Jesus. Peter encouraged these people, and he encourages us to put our faith in the risen Savior. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the Author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders, but in this way God fulfilled what He had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you." Our psalm reading is Psalm number 16, or part of it. This psalm reminds us that we can trust the Lord to protect us. Not even death can overcome us. We'll read these verses together. Guard me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The holy ones who are in the land are glorious. All my delight is in them. Those who chase after another god will increase their sorrows. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. Even my flesh will dwell securely, because you will not abandon my life to the grave. You will not let your favored one see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, fullness of joy in your presence, pleasures at your right hand forever. Our second scripture lesson is from 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Paul ends his letter to the Corinthians by talking about Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus has been raised, and his victory is ours through our faith in him. Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But once this perishable body has put on imperishability, and this mortal body has put on immortality, then what is written will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To our God, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence in heaven without fault and with great joy, to the only God who is our Savior, be glory, power, and majesty forever. Amen. God's word for our study are the verses of the gospel lesson from John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. When you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Dear fellow worshipers, on our calendars are important holidays that people like to celebrate. Of course, Christmas is a big one. Easter that we just celebrated, that's a big one. Well, you could say the same thing about the church year that we follow. There are certain festivals that get people's attention better than others. Christmas is the biggest one, probably. I like Easter because there's not so much commercialism with Easter. Maybe people are more focused on the message. Well, when those highs and lows in the church here, we have great attendances on Easter Sunday, maybe not so much the next Sunday. It changes as people go through the church year. Well, that's the kind of the way that life is too. You and I have days where things couldn't be better. We're on a high, you might say, and then the next day, there's all kinds of things going wrong that are not so good, and we feel like we're on a low. Sometimes that even happens with our faith. Couldn't be stronger in faith, and then another time, we have all these worries and weaknesses and fears. While Jesus' disciples were going through that in this Bible reading, they had the greatest of highs, but now they're at the lowest of lows as they've locked themselves in this room. But Jesus is going to use whatever circumstance that they find themselves in to teach them something and to teach us something too. The disciples learn, and we learn too as we see Jesus at work, that we can be thankful for what he does in our lives. Whether it's the highs or the lows, he's always doing something to help us with our faith and our trust in him. When Jesus first called the disciples, they were on a high. Jesus has his 3-year ministry, and he's teaching and preaching everywhere. Sometimes there were so many crowds that they didn't even get a break. They'd try and get away somewhere, and the crowds would beat the disciples and Jesus to the spot, and then he would end up teaching and preaching some more. While they're very popular, Jesus was very well-liked. Think about Palm Sunday when he rides into Jerusalem, people in front of him, behind him, on the sides of him. People are praising him for who he is, and it was a high. And the disciples were enjoying all of that, just like Jesus was. But then there were difficulties too. Some of the difficulty would come after Jesus ascended into heaven, and now these disciples are in charge of the earthly ministry. These men would have to go out and preach and teach like Jesus did. God gave them the ability to even do some miracles. But they wouldn't be always welcomed when they went places. There were people that wouldn't want to hear their message. And from what we know, all of the apostles perhaps were martyred for their faith. I've read that it's only the apostle John that died a natural death because all the others were persecuted and died. Maybe the lowest point for these disciples was after Jesus died. They had all run away. Judas had betrayed Jesus. Peter had denied him 3 times. They ran away, just like the Bible said they would. They fled. And now they're in this locked room. The shades are down. They're trying to be quiet, probably. They don't want the Jews to find them because they think the same thing is going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. And they're just defeated in that room. They had put their trust in Jesus. They had followed him. They had listened to him. They had seen his miracles, and now here they are, thinking that all is lost. Jesus has died, and that's it, and that's the way it's going to be. They were at the lowest of lows, you might say, as they thought about this. And that's not, of course, what Jesus wanted them to do. He wanted them to remember all the things that he had told them, because he had told them everything that was going to be happening here. The lows were having an effect on their faith too. Jesus had come and he had appeared to all the disciples in that locked room and he had showed them his nail-marked hands and the side where they pierced him to make sure that he had died. He even ate something in front of them to prove that they weren't seeing a ghost. But Thomas wasn't there. And when he comes back, you heard in the Bible reading, they kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord. He was here and he appeared to us." But Thomas wasn't going to believe it. He wanted to see it before he would believe it. And 8 days later, Jesus comes back. Here's what Thomas, the demand that he made. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Obviously, Jesus knew what Thomas was saying and thinking. And so now he comes back those 8 days later, and he says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas learned the hard way to trust the things that Jesus said, and the other disciples were learning that too. So Jesus, they're on the highest of highs in his earthly ministry. Now they're the lowest of lows. And now Jesus is back again and appears to them. Now they're on a high. So what is Jesus doing with all of this? What does he want the disciples to understand? Well, first, they're weak, aren't they? They weren't trusting what Jesus had told them ahead of time. Jesus was there not only to show them they were weak, but also to give them the strengthening that they needed. What else was Jesus teaching them? Well, look at the power in the resurrection. They never expected it. And here's Jesus coming right through the wall to see them and the power that he had and showing them his resurrected body. Jesus wanted them to see that. Jesus also wanted the disciples to realize, and it was unclear for some of them, what the kingdom of God really was about. Even at Jesus' ascension, one of the disciples said, "Are you going to make the nation of Israel great now, a great kingdom?" Well, that's not why Jesus came. He came to die on the cross to save sinners and to take them home to heaven. I'm sure the disciples would have loved it if Jesus would have just stayed with them and followed them around on their earthly ministry. But that wasn't the plan, and they needed to know that. They need to have this all straightened out before they started the earthly ministry for Jesus so that they could tell, as eyewitnesses, what had happened, but so that they could also relay the message of salvation to them. So whether the disciples were on a high or whether they were on a low in their life, they needed to thank the Lord because he was teaching them things no matter what happened. Thankfulness, trust, forgiveness, grace, confidence in the Lord. They could be thankful for the highs and the lows in their life. Sometimes we're like those first disciples. We have a high in our life. We're healthy. We have our bills paid. Nothing at home is broken and needs repair. We're doing well, and we couldn't be better. Our faith is strong, and we're trusting God, and everything seems to be lined up the way we want it to be. Well, in those circumstances, it's easy to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these wonderful blessings," and we should. But it doesn't always stay that way, does it? Sometimes our health is not so good. Sometimes our bills are not paid. Sometimes there's plenty of things to fix. Sometimes there's other issues to deal with, big decisions that keep us awake at night, and maybe a family issue that needs to be taken care of. We don't always have a high. There are going to be those low things that happen too. And then maybe we even become like Thomas. God's made a promise to us and we want to trust it and believe it, but it's difficult because you and I want to see it before we're going to trust in the Lord. Well, what's the Lord doing for us? We know that the devil causes evil and sin in the world, but the Lord is allowing it to happen. And we're confused at times. Well, here are some things that I think are really helpful as we deal with our life, no matter what's going on. Things to guide us. One of the things that I think about to guide my life is that you and I are never going to know the mind of God. God works out everything for our good. We trust that promise. But what we don't know is what the good is. You and I are not going to see it usually. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't trust the things that God promises. The second thing that guides us is that Jesus came here with a purpose. He came to save us from our sins. And it's not to keep us here, it's to get us home to heaven. So if that's God's plan for us, he's going to use the good times to strengthen our faith and we can show our thankfulness to him. But what about the difficult times? Maybe I start straying away from the Lord and the Lord puts something in my life to bring me back, to remind me what's important. A person could start living a sinful life and God may have to discipline that believer. If God sees something in our life that is going to harm our faith, he's not going to stand by and watch it happen. He's going to do something, and he should, and we want him to. Maybe it's to discipline us. Maybe it's to strengthen our faith. Or maybe it's for us to be an example of what a Christian does when you go through difficult times. A third thing that I like to remember about living as a Christian is that our faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it is. And if you're, you know, a weightlifter or something and you're lifting weights and you got that resistance, that builds muscle even more. Isn't that what happens when you and I go through difficult times? This resistance, these problems, these troubles to deal with. God is strengthening us when we go through those things. Because like those first disciples, we're learning to despair of ourselves and our abilities and what we think we're strong in. He's humbling us and showing us that we shouldn't trust in ourselves. We should be putting all of our trust and confidence in the Lord. And when we understand that about our God, what his plan is for us, what he's willing to do for us, how he's guiding us through our life here, then you and I, like these first disciples, we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings when everything is going great. And thank you, Lord, when things are not going so great, when you humble me and show me my sins and strengthen my faith and assure me of my forgiveness and keep me pointed on that road to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the highs and for the lows in our lives. When people have problems, you know what they like to do? Blame somebody for it. Started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Adam, what did you do? No, not me, Lord. It's that woman you put here with me. Eve, what did you do? No, not me, Lord. It's the devil. The devil made me do it. You and I can be tempted to do the same thing. Thomas, you know, he wasn't going to trust the Lord's promise, that kind of thing. Well, we can do the same thing as we go about our lives here. If my faith is weak, who do I blame? Do I blame God for giving me a weak faith? If I'm wondering if I really am forgiven of all of my sins and God has really forgiven and forgotten me, do I blame God for that? That I don't know that my sins are forgiven? What if something else is going wrong in my life? Do I blame God and say, Lord, why am I don't have enough money or why is this problem happening? Should we blame God for that? How about when our faith is weak and we're wondering if we really do have a home in heaven with the Lord? Do we blame God for that or other circumstances? No. God has only our best interest in mind. He's made all of these things possible. A strong faith, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, help when we're under trials and testing. Those things aren't God's fault. They're a part of living in a sinful world. But who should we be looking to if our faith is weak or we're not trusting God's promises or we're doubting his forgiveness for our home in heaven? We look to ourselves. God's given us everything necessary to have a strong faith. He's given us his word. We get to use it all the time. He's given it to us in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assuring us that we're forgiven and strengthening our faith. If you and I are weak or we have some kind of spiritual problem or worry, it's certainly not God's fault. You and I just need to get better at using the tools that God has given us so that we do remain strong in our faith in him. Everybody has highs. Everybody has lows. We're going to have them the rest of our days here. But when they happen, whatever it is, highs or lows, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his blessings. Thank the Lord that he continues to teach us even through difficulties. Thank the Lord that regardless of what happens, he's continuing to take us on this journey to our perfect home in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll confess our faith tonight using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. God of all grace, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus. By his resurrection from the dead, and by the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have assured us that our faith stands on a certain and solid foundation. Though we do not see Jesus with our physical eyes, help us to see him with the eyes of faith. Through your Holy Spirit, breathe on your church that it may faithfully proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior. Help us to do that with courage and diligence to all people. We also ask that we may be illumined by the heavenly light of your word, and so keep us in the one and only true faith. Preserve us from the assaults on our souls by the devil. Deliver us from doubt and despair. Preserve us from worldly wisdom and false teaching. Father, remind us that we are forgiven of our sins. Strengthen those who are doubting and faithless. Bring back those who are forgetful about spiritual things and have become wayward. Comfort those who are worried and the distressed. Father, as we go from this holy place today, grant peace and rest to us all. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Triune God, as Rick and Deanne Young celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary, accept our heartfelt thanks for all the blessings they have received. As companions on the journey through life, they have loved, consoled, and supported each other. But most important, they have grown closer to you. By your grace, they have maintained a Christian home. They have learned forgiveness and unconditional love from you. Your word has been a lamp to their feet and a light for their path. Keep them committed to each other and to you. Continue to supply their earthly needs according to your will. Give them joys in the year to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.